All right, it's Darren Johnson, CampusXM.com, and Campus News. In this latest issue of Campus News, we have a lot of stories, and it is issue number 17-4, technically April 2018. Some colleges tend to stay on the stands till about mid-May. We have an alternating schedule with the colleges we hit. Campus News is a newspaper that hits 37 campuses all through the New York metro area and slightly beyond. It's a modern miracle to get out a newspaper to 37 campuses and that students still pick it up. We're amazed. I just hit one of the campuses that we hit, and it was devoid of papers. There were just a handful of papers left. Maybe we dropped off 800 last month, and there were maybe about, I don't know, 8 total on the various stands we had on campus. So it gets picked up in high numbers. Some campuses read it like 100% of the copies pretty much go. Other campuses maybe like 85%, but it gets good pickup. The ones that get less than 100, I start to worry about their students. Like, do they know how to read? You know, I start to question that. I don't know who wouldn't pick up a free newspaper. We hear stories like, oh, kids don't read newspapers. No, they pick up Campus News. And there are other papers distributed to the campuses, and people don't pick those up. There's like some little magazine that is aimed at college students that goes to a lot of the campuses we hit. And it's only a quarterly, so it'll be on the stands for 3 months while we hit every single month. And I've noticed that it still sits in that little in its little box, and very few copies get picked up while we go through almost all our papers. So people will pick up a campus newspaper. We make it really colorful and bright. All right, this issue, April 2018, we're in springtime now, and it is has a lot of good stories. I moved a story from Ryan Walsh, a new writer. He is currently a student at UAlbany, SUNY Albany. And I got the story late. He covered an event at the end of March, and our deadline at the printer was like April 1st. So it came in late. And I originally had another story on the cover about transferring to a four-year college. We've done that story before. Our advertisers are largely four-year colleges. Students who pick up the paper, we hit community colleges, are interested in transferring to a four-year college. So, you know, it seemed like a natural story. But this story came in, and at the very last second, while we were just like maybe, I don't know, 6 hours away from uploading the paper to the printer, I did a switcheroo and moved this story to the cover by Ryan Walsh. It's called How to Be Internet Famous, and he interviews some guy named Tyler Oakley, who is like an internet influencer who has millions of followers, I guess. And he gave a little speech at UAlbany, and we wrote this in interview type format, and it's really well done. It was a real clean, well-written story. I'm going to want to work with this guy more in the future. It's Ryan Walsh, who wrote this. It always helps when I get a story that is almost ready to go and needs very minor tweaks. Every story needs something, but some stories need a lot of help. This one came in ready to go, so it changed my mind. It originally was going to go on page 23, and it got moved to the cover. So there you go. Good job, Ryan Walsh. And it tells you how to become internet famous, because we all kind of want to be internet famous. So that's our cover story. You can go to www.cccn.us and take a look. Or if you are on one of the campuses where we drop papers, please pick up the printed edition. Pick up one for your mom or your brother or something too. So people do pick it up, and it's a nice little modern marvel. Also on the cover, we have a rare cover ad for Molloy College. They are having an open house, 1 p.m. April 29th. So if you are interested in that, go to their open house. Molloy College has gone from just a minor little nursing school, and that was, I went to Southampton College on Long Island as a student. Molloy was like a little outpost that no one cared about. And they've hired this really good ad agency, and they have really upped their game marketing-wise. And they're a full-fledged college now, and they're really doing a good job. And it shows you their ad campaigns, a lot of colleges have gone all digital with their ad campaigns. Their ad campaign has a little of everything. It has print, which is us, maybe some other student papers, and it has bus ads, and it has TV ads, radio ads, and internet ads. You have to have a well-rounded attack if you want to get students. And they've really, like, I think they've done really well. They've survived while other colleges on Long Island, like Dowling College and Briarcliff College, have, and Southampton College even, have gone out of business. So, Malloy, good kudos on you. And they have a little ad on the cover. So go to their open house. Say Campus News sent you. Why not? All right, inside the paper, page 2, an ad for CW Post. They have a new vet tech bachelor's program. Picture of a cute dog, one of my favorite ads in the paper. You can't, like, lose with a dog in an ad. I don't know why more colleges don't do this. All right, next, juggling school, work, and life. Our professor, John DeSpagna from Nassau Community College, he also runs their marketing department, business and administration, I guess, is the whole department name. He wrote how to juggle. What he finds is community college students, they try to work 30, 40 hours a week, and they and then they also try to be a full-time student. You really can't do it all. You have to cut down on the work. Your bills aren't as bad as you think you are. Get a minimal cell phone plan, or I don't know, just get a freaking track phone or something. You don't need cable TV. I didn't even have TV when I was in college. You don't need to eat out. You don't need a mod car. You know, you're working on your car all the time. Just get an old anything. Doesn't matter if it has Sirius XM. Just, you know, if it has a cassette deck, who cares? Just listen to FM radio or something. So, yes, you got to cut corners. Don't work so much. Your goal should be college. And but also don't take out a lot of loans, too. Those will kill you later. Especially for community college. Community college is so inexpensive now with all the various scholarships, the Excelsior Scholarship, etc., etc. You could definitely afford that just working 20 hours a week. So no need to go nuts. Gianluca Russo, a regular writer for us, longtime writer. He also is a UAlbany student, previously attended Schenectady County Community College where I encountered him. And he wrote a story on a woman named Lindsay Underwood who was named to run a special New York Times section called The Edit aimed at college students. So they have like a newsletter that goes to college students. It's funny, they got 20,000 applications to work for The Edit. And she was the finalist, I guess. Kind of ridiculous because we have a paper and we don't get 20,000 applicants. I'm lucky to get maybe one or two a month that says, hey, I'd like to write for you. Getting back to the point about handing in well-written stories, some writers, you could tell their heart's not in it, or they're just not there yet, because they'll turn in stories that need a lot of help. And I will publish them, and I will help them as best I can as a copy editor, but I'm on deadline, and you're better off giving me your best work, because what I'll give you is B-level work if I have to edit it. If you edit it, maybe it'll be A-level work. So sometimes I get stories that aren't quite as good, and I don't work with those writers later on because it's going to be more work for me. So I want writers that are going to turn in stuff that is about 98% clean. Some writers turn in stuff that's like every other sentence needs something, and that can weigh on a copy editor. So don't do that to your copy editor. Anyway, story about her, Underwood, New York Times. Talijah Patterson, regular writer for us too, writes about preparing to transfer to a four-year college. That was the one that was going to be the cover story. It's on page 7, so page 7 isn't bad. No offense, Talijah, just we have run similar stories in the past, and I wanted something a little different. But good story. It's a checklist of everything you have to do. A lot of people don't know with community colleges, you can go, all right, let's say you had a, you were a so-so high school student or whatever, you had issues in high school, or maybe even were a good high school student, but not a great high school student. You can go to community college and then transfer to really good schools. People don't know this. You don't need to take the SAT or anything. You can just transfer if you had like a 3.87 at community college or 3.9 or something, and you joined a club or two while you were there, and you write a really good essay, because even the very best colleges lose students. The student might decide, oh, you know, Harvard isn't for me, I'm going to Princeton, whatever. Or they might, some students, they fail out of even a good school. Or, you know, things happen. Someone gets sick and they don't go back to school. Their mom gets sick and they have to go back home. So there are openings. Even the best schools might have 10% attrition. And you, as a community college student, can kind of backdoor into these really good schools. End of the day, your degree from the four-year school is what is going to matter when you apply for a job, not your two-year school. So she gives you a lot of good advice. Actually, you still can kind of squeeze into maybe a really good college if you're graduating right now from community college. You can backdoor in. So consider that. If you need any advice in that regard, read that article, cccn.us, and read the April issue. Talijah also writes a story on the top apps for college students. I found this really interesting. And again, Talijah is one of these people I don't need to copy edit much. Her stuff comes in, you know, like 98% clean, just like Ryan's did. Very good. You know, even top writers, they can aspire for 98%. That's a good number. I've seen very few writers come in at 100%. Interestingly enough, some student writers, community college student writers, come in with cleaner copy than college professors. Because I have a lot of college professors write for me over the years. I've had one who doesn't even write for us anymore who would turn in... The stuff would give me a headache. I would hate it when I got to his page to copy edit. There were so many errors. It just gave me a headache. But it was early on in the paper's history and I needed, like... I needed stories, and so I kept this guy for a while. And the topics were relatively useful, but it was so much copy editing work. Now I have professors that give me cleaner copy, and it's just as useful. So, yes, please help your editor out. If you want to make it as a writer, help your editor out. All right, so top apps. Found it interesting. She has one app listed called Photomath, and then another one called... FX Calculator Problem Solver. You can just point your smartphone at a math equation and it'll do it for you and show you how to do the work. So this isn't necessarily a cheat app. I don't consider it a cheat app. It's a cheat app per se with your homework, but most math classes you have to actually take a test in class. So it's not really a cheat app. I think it's a helpful app. It can help you out with some really hard problems. Back when I was a student, I had to take the pre-calculus in college as my math credit. I didn't have to take that course, but I decided to. And I could have used that. You know, back then computers were still kind of new. There weren't a lot of programs to teach you advanced algebra, which is what you need in pre-calculus. And I hadn't taken a math course since early high school, so I was rusty. I could have used something like this. So there's that. There's apps to help you with your budget, apps that will help you scan documents, something called Honey that'll give you a coupon code for any website. So lots of good stuff in that article in Campus News. Yesenia Coelho tells us about an illustration conference with anime, etc., manga, comics, video games, all kinds of illustration at New Paltz. So if you want to go to that, that's later this month. Sounds interesting. Not for me, but it's interesting. Free speech on campus, a speech at Nassau Community College coming up. You know, free speech is a big issue. I run a newspaper, and we distribute to college campuses. And every now and then, I'd say about once a year, I'll get some kook who works on a campus who doesn't understand free speech. A newspaper is allowed to distribute on a public campus. It's the First Amendment. Most people know this, and every now and then I'll encounter some, you know, and Campus News is the least offensive newspaper in the world. It has, you know, it's not even an offensive newspaper. It is meant to help students. So, I don't know, it's colorful, it's interesting. I don't know why anyone would be against this, but every now and then there's some kind of, like, overzealous, usually it's like a school newspaper advisor or something who gets overzealous, and they'll say, oh, you're not allowed to be on campus, and then I have to tell them what the law is, and sometimes it goes up to their administration, and then it turns out every single time they say, yes, Campus News has an absolute right to be on campus. So this advisor was a kook, and I can't believe we hired this person in the first place. So support free speech on campuses. And free speech not only applies to your official school paper, it applies to other papers, especially if they're like Campus News and they hire student writers. That is their free speech, and they are allowed to express it on campus, and a newspaper is a time-honored way to do so. So God bless America and free speech on campus. And who would be opposed to Campus News? You'd have to be a real jerk. I write an article in Campus News. Yes, I write articles. I like writing articles. In fact, this was my goal as a young lad, to own a newspaper. There's pictures of me as a baby reading the newspaper. I love newspapers. And to write whatever I wanted. I can write whatever I want in a newspaper, as long as it's journalistic. You know, as long as it's not science fiction or poetry. I can write whatever I want. So isn't that nice? So that was my goal. In a way, people complain about, oh, it's tough to make it as a writer this day and age and with the internet, because internet sites pay horribly. Some pay like $5 a story or some crazy number. Don't write for the internet. And a lot of newspapers have shrunk. Campus News hasn't, but a lot have. And they say, oh, it's hard to make a living as a writer. But if you think about it, I write 2 or 3 stories per issue, and all the revenue that comes in from advertisers is what essentially pays for the paper to be printed and to pay the writers. But whatever's left over is, you know, after taxes, is mine. So I'm if I think about it this way, a high-paid writer because I get all the advertising revenue. So isn't that good? So start a publication. You know, online publications are jokes. Don't start an online publication. Start a real one, a print one, and the advertisers will be with you, especially in this day and age, with Facebook proving that there's so many scams and such when it comes to internet marketing. All right, I write about audiobooks. Is it okay to use audiobooks for your classes? I answer that question. A lot of students feel intimidated by books. They have to read a book, you know, like Jane Austen or something like that for their class, and they're not used to reading. They haven't worked those muscles. Your brain is a muscle. And they get intimidated and they can't read it. And so what do they do? They go on a site called SparkNotes and they read the synopsis of Jane Austen, etc. And that's cheating. You know, it's cheating. You shouldn't do that. When I was younger, they had like paper versions called Cliff Notes that a lot of people bought. And I think they're okay if you're having trouble understanding like old works like Shakespeare or something, and the language is a little rough. But if it's anything written after like 1880, you should be able to comprehend that. Now, the question is, we had the previous article about college students working too much. If they're working so much, when do they have time to read? Well, I think audiobooks are a good substitute. In some ways, they're harder than traditional books in that you listen and people, there's a reader, an actor, who reads the pieces, and you really have to listen. So I take breaks when I listen to audiobooks, and you have to visualize the words in your head. So you have to do that too. So they're harder in that regard. What I do is I print like a little list of all the characters who are in the book. That way I know who's who, because it's easy to get lost with an audiobook if you're not paying attention. And then I'll take music breaks and stuff because my mind starts to wander after about 45 minutes or so of constant listening. So you got to have like a pattern to it. So in some ways it's harder. In some ways it's easier, but it's still not cheating. It's easier in that someone's reading it to you, so you can drive or be on the elliptical and listen to it. Also, the actors who read the books sometimes are very good. Like with Angela's Ashes by Frank McCourt. Frank McCourt reads it, and it's an Irish coming-of-age, you know, coming-to-America story. And he does all the voices in brogues. So he'll be like, oh, la, la, la. He'll do all the voices in brogues and make it really colorful. He'll do the women's voices, and it's really interesting. Anyway, I have to kick ass, so I'm going to pause, and I'll be right back. All right, I'm back. Got some gas. Stopped, got some coffee. Driving on the road. It's a bumpy road. I just left New Jersey, and I am in New York State. The thing is, I just get gas in New York State now. I used to get it in New Jersey, because New Jersey gas was, like, way cheaper than New York gas for the longest time. And it's still a little bit cheaper. But what I don't like about New Jersey is that they pump the gas for you. And I don't like that kind of pressure. Like, I just want... I don't want to hand over my card, and then, like, I don't know what it's going to be. I'd rather just do it myself and see what's going to happen. You know, if I want... I don't want to know... Try to guess. I need $27 or whatever. If I want to put in $23.52, that's fine. And the prices have, they're not too bad in New York. So, they've come down, I guess, or New Jersey's gone up over the years. So, anyway, getting back to the latest, campus news. We have, Suffolk County Community College was named Tremendous. It is, one of the tree-friendly campuses. Of community colleges in the country, only 190 or so campuses nationwide get such a designation or some number. How to Succeed in an Online Class by Kaylee Johnson. So she's my daughter. She writes for the paper. She's college age now, and she is going to the College of St. Rose. She went to SUNY Adirondack, which is a community college near us for a year. So I feel that qualifies her to write for community college campus news paper. She has a writing bent. She does a good job. And online classes aren't for everyone. So that's something to think about. Also, SUNY students, the assembly, they support protesting. So another free speech issue. The student assembly supports students' rights to protest. I guess there's been some... pushback by administrations about students protesting, and the assembly promotes that right. I think one thing that's ending up good is that campuses are addressing the free speech issue. It's a complicated situation. There's free speech issues and there's political correctness. And the two can sometimes be adversarial towards each other. Political correctness, as we saw with that professor who tried to shut down debate at a college. She was, I think, a journalism professor, which is ironic. She tried to shut down debate. I forget her name at this point and even what college it was, but she tried to get a journalist kicked out of her protest on campus, which is obviously a free speech issue. It was a student journalist. It was a public campus. It's a big free speech issue. But, you know, sometimes people using their free speech, they might elicit response, and the response is so great that it curtails their free speech. So, for example, if you wanted to have someone on campus who might be a little bit right-wing, maybe that person said something right-wing in the past that is offensive, they can get shouted down and not be allowed to express their free speech on campus, which can be problematic as well. You know, that said, if someone's invited on campus, there must be someone on campus who supports that person being there. And even if it's a minority of people who believe a certain thing, those people have a right to say it. That said, I am extremely cognizant of free speech issues and political correctness with campus news. Thankfully, my own political views, you know, I tend to be, because I was a journalist, independent, and I am registered independent, although, you know, I did run for office once as a Democrat, I'd say probably ideologically, I side more left than right, which is pretty much the climate on most college campuses, but I don't let that infiltrate the paper. I did have a negative story about Trump at one point that I didn't write, a student wrote, and I didn't disagree with the story, and I got an angry phone call, but it wasn't from a student, it was just from someone who was on campus and, you know, thought that Trump was a really good person and that we shouldn't have published that story. So I'll get stuff like that every now and then. It's interesting, when you do a newspaper, you do get a lot of interaction. People don't realize it, like everyone's programmed to believe that print is dead or dying, but we publish a newspaper that goes to probably the least likely audience in the world, and people all pick it up and they all interact. We get a lot of emails and letters and phone calls and whatever. It's kind of fun to do. So I think print is still alive for certain niches. All right, we have our sports wrap-ups, which teams are doing well in the community college sector. I thought I would add this. What I've noticed on campus is most college papers, they don't cover their local sports teams, their college sports teams. They'll have writers write about the Yankees or the Mets or the Jets or something. Who wants to read a student paper for an opinion about the Jets? You know, come on, there's a dozen other sources, you know, not even including the internet. One thing you should realize if you write for a print publication, what you write should be unique, and it should be something that can't be easily gotten on the internet. So I have a column, or a couple of columns, of sports shorts from all the different community colleges. You really can't find these unless you went to every single community college website and looked them up. So here they are all in one place, and a newspaper can add perspective to the story. So, like, one college might say, hey, our team came in second place. We were 21-10. And then another school, you know, but they're not the story. The story is the number one school. All right, I have a phone call. Let me take a break. All right, that's the problem with recording in a car that has Bluetooth. But I just bought this car around Christmas time, and I wanted a car that had this whole setup. I was renting a lot of cars because I travel so much for campus news, and this one was a car that had the whole setup. I liked all the USB and the XM, Sirius XM radio and all that. I wanted everything because I'm in the car so much. That's more important to me than the horsepower of the car, actually. So I bought this car at Christmas time because it had all the different things in it. It's a fuel-efficient Nissan. So there's that. Any case, we do the sports column. It's something that you can't get elsewhere. And we have a speaker at one of the campuses, NECC, and New England. It's out in North Essex, out in New England, Community College. And she is a speaker on disability rights, has a very interesting story. See that story in Campus News. The jump to our how to be internet famous story is there. It actually jumps twice. So it's on the cover, and then it jumps to a full page, and then it jumps to a half page. We have an ad in Campus News for AT&T and Apple. If you call 1-888-448-2602, I'll give you that number again in a second, so run and grab a pen. You can get a free iPhone 8, if you sign up with AT&T service. So if you're thinking of changing your service anyway, you can get an iPhone 8. So it's pretty nice. I just still have the iPhone 6. My daughter has the X, and that's really nice. I don't think you need the X. The 8 is more like a typical iPhone. It still has the button. And the X doesn't have the button, which takes some getting used to. So a lot of people prefer the 8. And you can get that by calling 1-888-888. Okay, you got that? 448 2602 and get an iPhone 8 on AT&T will pay for it. So it's a good deal. You're paying for a monthly fee anyway for your cell phone service. I think it's a pretty good deal. And why not? Maybe when mine's up. I don't know. Where I live, though, it is much better to have Verizon. But if you live in a city, it doesn't matter. But I live out in the country, so Verizon's what works. All right, next. We have our puzzles and our comics. We've been doing comics and puzzles for a long time. And we have more community college sports shorts. We have scholarships going on Long Island for Dreamers. I'm in favor of this, believe it or not. Well, why would you not believe it? I already said I kind of lean a little to the left. Why not? These are people in the country. They might not have all their paperwork. I've had to do financial aid paperwork for my daughter. She doesn't qualify for much, unfortunately, but they still make you fill it out. And it's a big pain because you have to have, like, all your taxes up to date and everything. And I own a newspaper, as you know, and other things. And so it's hard to make the tax deadline and then the financial aid deadline. So, like, you can file extensions, I guess, with taxes, but then that affects your financial aid. It's all a big mess. It's hard enough for a citizen to go to college, all right? That's what I'm trying to say. And for a non-citizen, they are in this country, and they're working, and they're doing things, why not? You know, they're living in New York State. They're paying taxes in other ways. If they're paying rent, their landlord's paying property taxes. If they buy anything, which of course they are, they're paying sales taxes. They're probably still getting income taxes taken out of their check, but they don't get a refund because they can't file IRS taxes. So why not? Why not waive a few rules and let these dreamers in, especially at community college? And I've seen so many stories over the years of immigrants, illegal or legal, who have taken advantage of community colleges and have really changed their lives around. So go from, you know, working off the books for like $18,000 a year to real jobs that pay nice salaries and citizenship eventually too. So there's that. Food pantries on SUNY campuses. We did a cover story about half a year ago on how many campuses now have food pantries. Community colleges serve a different population than four-year colleges. Now SUNY has taken the ball on this, and they want all SUNY campuses, four-year and two-year, to have food pantries. So I don't think it can hurt. Hopefully it's not just like, you know, at a four-year residential school, some stoner kid at 2 in the morning saying, hey, man, let's hit the pantry and get some SpaghettiOs. You know, we don't want that. But as long as, I think it's not a bad idea. There's worse things that can happen. And I'm sure most of the food will be donated anyway. So why not? What's the harm? So yeah, get some food pantries on the campuses. When I was in college, I mostly, 7-Eleven would have like a 2 hot dogs for a dollar deal. So we would all pile in my junky car and go down there with our dollar each and buy hot dogs. And people would put like tons of cheese and chili and everything. They'd get their $2 worth for these hot dogs. So that was a thing. And, it, you know, maybe people had substances in their system. If they could just stay on campus and not get a DWI, that's a good thing. So so food pantries, college campuses, it's more than just ramen noodles. Last story. I give myself the last story usually in the paper. I know, but that's the perk of owning the paper. So I get to have the last word. I feel like, all right, here's why I give myself the last story. I feel like I'm the veteran writer in the group of writers that we have. We either have professors who aren't journalism majors, who weren't journalism majors, they teach other subjects, writing columns, or students who are journalism majors or related fields, and they're not as advanced, not, you know, not saying anything. I've just written thousands of pieces. I've been in the New York Times. I've been all over the place. I feel like I need to give myself that end position. I used to give it to another professor because I tried to be magnanimous, and he rarely delivered. You know, it just wasn't worthy of the last story in the paper. So I think I can deliver in this piece. So look at page 30 of 32. The last two pages are ads for Mercy College and Molloy, respectively. Two, you know, very good colleges to transfer to, by the way. I find the advertisers are great colleges to transfer to. Some other ones include St. Joseph's College, and with two locations, Brooklyn and Long Island. St. Thomas Aquinas College, Quinnipiac College, a host of colleges. Five Towns College. We have SUNY Westbury, Old Westbury. We have a whole host of colleges. We have two-year colleges also advertising their summer courses, like SUNY Schenectady and Ulster County Community College. So lots of colleges in there. I think we had 18 advertisers this past issue. So lots of colleges are in there. Check them all out. Those are ones that want you to go there if you are a transfer student or a freshman who wants to go there. All right, my last article, it's called Last Word. After you go, I will follow you, .. online, ellipses, .. online. So I write about my 20 years of teaching and how I've followed students after they graduate, how I feel like at the end of the semester, especially if they are departing, like let's say they're graduating or going to the workforce or something, I feel like I need to give them some wisdom. But over the years, I've rethought that, and I no longer pontificate at the end of the semester, and instead, I just want them to have fun. So I tell them, just have fun, because who am I? You know, I'm on the sidelines at this point. They're the ones in the action. I write about how in their 20s, you know, their posts start to slow down a little online and how they get more serious, and they don't seem to be having as much fun anymore. And then they have kids, a lot of them, and then their social media brightens up again. They start to get serious jobs, and you know, they're in the game. So I salute them, and I hope this piece is poignant. Hopefully I'm still in the game, but the tact I take in this piece is that now, you know, you have to be dramatic sometimes when you're right. I'm on the sidelines watching them in the game, but in reality, I feel like I'm still in the game. I'm publishing a newspaper. I'm teaching at a local four-year college. I'm doing things. I wrote a couple of books recently, yet to be published. So I feel like I'm doing things. So I feel like I'm still in the game. Anyway, that's the latest issue of Campus News. If you don't have it on your campus, for whatever reason, write to us, and maybe we can have it delivered to your campus, especially if it's a two-year campus. Even if you're kind of a little bit further away from our normal route, maybe we can send 100 copies to you, and you can put them out in a useful place for your friends and colleagues. Or check us out online. We don't collect your info. We're not Facebook. We don't spam you. We don't steal your information. We don't track you online. I know nothing about anyone who downloads anything from our site. So we have a really good interactive PDF and an issue version of our newspaper every month. This issue I just spoke about was the April 2018 springtime edition. Look it up. Campus News is going to go monthly. We're going to be 12 times a year in the coming 2018-19 school year. If you are an advertiser, sign up. We only have so many spaces, so sign up. And if you'd like to write for us, let me know. Go to our website, campus-news.org, O-R-G. campus-news.org, or simply cccn.us is a shortcut. All right, enjoy this latest issue. Enjoy your spring.